The scripture is Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 7 and reading to the end of the chapter. It's on page 1074. Shall we pray? Spirit of God, breathe on us and focus our thoughts and our hearts. Make us mature as we think about goals and directions. Amen. Philippians 3, verse 7. But whatever gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us, then, who are mature, should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that, too, God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already obtained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body.
Well, for you high school graduates, I've got an opportunity. You're going to hear some speeches at the end of this week, and I get to put my words in first. Now, what that may mean is that they will get buried and covered up by a class president speech or whatever speeches you may hear and may be involved in. But I hope that at least what my comments, and more importantly, because I think they are directed from God's word, that they will get in and find a spot, that they will stay, that they won't evaporate like a lot of the graduation speeches do. That's mainly especially at college and university graduations. You know, they pull in some famous alumni who has a lot of money and was able to give a lot of money to the school, or maybe somebody who's a politician or somebody who's a movie star or something like that, and they have to give their speeches, and a lot of times those words kind of disappear and dissolve pretty fast. Well, what I'm going to say to you, you have an advantage maybe over what you're going to hear from some other speaker, and that is that you can go back to refresh your mind on this, because it's going to come from the reflections of Paul, who was a mature person by this time, the wisdom of age and experience, and he was led by the Spirit of God to say these things. And you can find those words anytime you want to pick them up. The Bible is readily available to you. Even if you're on a trip, you can go in a hotel room and find a Bible in a drawer someplace, and you can go back and refresh your mind about what it says here in Philippians chapter 3. Because Paul is talking here in Philippians a lot about goals and about life goals and how important they are for all of us, not just for graduates, okay? So I hope the rest of you will kind of listen in even if you can barely remember back all the years and years to when you graduated. I mean, that's getting to that point for me. 40 years of college already, and wow. Anyway, but I hope that this will be words that will be for you as well. Because all of us need to have a goal and not to meander our way through life aimlessly, trying to say, well, let's see, my goal is to survive today, we'll see about tomorrow. But to have something in front of us. And we're going to look at what Paul says is the greatest goal. But before we get there, I want to realize that that doesn't mean that there aren't other valid goals in our lives. And I want to talk especially this morning to those of you who are going off to college, to these new experiences that you're going to have away from home. And I'd like you to consider three things that you could put as maybe we could call them intermediate goals. We'll get to the big one in just a little bit. But I'd like you to consider these three things as a goal for your time in college, 4 years, 5 years, or 6 years, whatever it takes to actually get through and get that college degree. And the first thing I want you to consider as a goal is enjoy it. Have a great time. You surprised that I would mention that? Well, not really. You shouldn't be. God is not a spoil sport. College, as you know, will bring new opportunities, new people into your lives. It will bring you new freedoms. And, of course, I have to say now, use them responsibly, okay? You will be away from your parents. They won't be able to check in on you and all that kind of stuff every day. But these are good things. They're great things. You can abuse them, but I'm going to stick to it and say an intermediate goal for you in these next years is to enjoy college. It can be some of the best years of your life. I think of what the book of Ecclesiastes talks about. Remember in Ecclesiastes 3, it talks about there's a time for everything under the sun, for every activity. And what does it say? It says there's a time to dance. It says there's a time to laugh. I think those are not just for college, but they're certainly appropriate for that. But then, of course, there's also the counterpart. So you knew that was coming. A second part of it is, a second goal, work hard. You all did well in high school. But, you know, college is a different experience. And college work is harder work. It's a different level. And you're going to be called on. You're going to need to focus. You're going to need to make choices. You're going to need to plan. That's part of working, working smart and working hard. The fact is that the parties can't always come first. As you get to college, maybe you're going to find out that your study skills that you used in high school, maybe it was pretty easy getting through high school and you just kind of slid your way through, and all of a sudden you get hit in the face with that first college English 101 or whatever. And there's always one class in your first year in college that you get, whoa, this is not what I'm used to. Ask for help. There's all kinds of resources on every college campus for students who need some help in study skills or whatever. And again, remember Ecclesiastes 3. It not only says it's a time to dance and a time to laugh, it also says there comes a time to refrain from embracing, a time to be silent. I guess I look at that and say, those are the serious times, the time to recognize the focus that you need to have, to seek wisdom. Again, in the book of Ecclesiastes, the writer says, wisdom is better than strength. The quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. And the whole book of Proverbs is filled with the idea of seeking wisdom. Let me just encourage you, as part of your study, as part of your working, to go back to the book of Proverbs. You know, there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. I can think about just a good idea. Read a chapter a day. You can go back over it each month. Now, I may be optimistic. Read a couple verses from a chapter each day, okay? Chapter 1, chapter 3, chapter 31. Now you're going to miss that on the months that only have 30 days, or February you get a break and you only go through chapter 28, but that's okay. That wisdom is something which is a goal, and it takes work to achieve wisdom. It's more than just getting to know facts. That's a part of it, but there's more to it than that. And there's a third goal. Enjoy, work hard. Third one, serve. Develop already in college a servant mentality. As you look to your career choices, you all have ideas already of what you want to do. And I'm pleased to hear that these are things that have to do with serving. They're not things that you're going to look at first of all and say, hey, I make a lot of money at it. Some of them you might be able to, but the idea, you're involved with people, you're serving. And ask, how can I serve God? How can I serve others? And not just after I get out of college, but you're going to find in any school there are going to be opportunities to get involved in service already as a college student. Take advantage of those. Life in college is more than books and it's more than parties. It can be an opportunity to serve. Intermediate goals along the way. And goals that will stand you in good stead as you move on to the next step. Because when you get to a vocation, there too there are intermediate goals, valuable ones. And if you've been in a job for 20 years, or even if you're thinking about retirement, these are still things to remember. Intermediate goals along that way. Money isn't everything. That's wording it negatively. There's more important things than money. The world often pressures us to think in terms of find a career, find the job that can get you the most stuff at the end. If I get a couple of job offers when I get looking at summer employment, which one pays the most? When you get done with your college and you have some options, which one can give me the biggest paycheck? There's more important questions than that. More important questions when you look at your career choices than which one will get me the most wealth. Not that there's anything wrong with wealth and working hard for a paycheck. Making money is valid. John Wesley said, make all you can. Save all you can so that you can give all you can. The first thing, you can't give and you can't save unless you've made it in the first place. There's nothing wrong with making money. But it isn't the only thing, and it isn't even the first thing. There's a lot more important questions. Ethics, for example. What I want to do, the job I'm thinking of, is it something I can do to honor God? Is it right? Will there be time if I take that job, if I do that? Will there be time for my family? Will there be time for my church, for my community? Can I honor God? Can I enjoy the work environment in which I have decided to be? That's an intermediate goal, something other than money. Another intermediate goal in the whole area of career is kind of the equivalent of the work hard thing, but can I look at it and say, I did my job well. To be able to, in the intermediate, on every day, to end the day and say, I did it. I did the best I could. I did a day's work for the day's pay that I'm going to get. And to be able to get to the end of a day and say, that's good. That's an intermediate goal. That's a great goal to put, that every day you can end it without regrets. To be the best you could be. The best mechanic, the best teacher, the best construction trades worker, the best at whatever it is. And as you do that, another intermediate goal, and this fits for college as well as it does for the career and work environment, is remember to value people more than a product. And that's often lacking. Especially in big business where you sometimes feel like you're just a number, you're just a little cog in a huge, big machine. But remember, whatever you have responsibility for, whether you're dealing with other workers, whether you're dealing with customers or clients or students or whatever, remember first of all to see the person, not just the job, not just the product. think TV has put some horrible examples in front of us, and I don't watch these programs, but I've seen enough about The Apprentice and Donald Trump and, you know, the attitude of coming, you're fired, get out of here, you're not matching up. I don't know, Hell's Kitchen looks like it must be a horrible program. I don't know. That's not the idea. It's people. People matter. In other words, be a servant. That really is not an intermediate goal. Remember when Jesus was asked about what's the greatest commandment of all? And he said, well, there's two parts to it. The second part is love your neighbor as yourself. And that was second, not in importance. It's just that you can't say everything at once. This is way up there. One of the greatest threats in our society is a me-first attitude. Me-first. You see it in the scandal, and I think it is a scandal, of some CEO salaries. Who is, I can get the biggest salary and the most perks and the benefits, and I'm going to get more than the person who's the CEO of another company. Me first. Too bad about stockholders, or too bad about employees, more often the case. You see it in terms of marriages that break down because you get two people in a marriage who both say, me first. And it doesn't work that way. It's an evolutionary worldview, I guess, that comes to fruition in this. You know, the idea, if this is all evolutionary and everything is just kind of randomly going on and it's a survival of the fittest, well, then me first. I'm going to survive one way or another. Too bad about you if you get in my way. Sounds a little bit like Philippians 3:19. People whose destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame, and their mind is set on earthly things. Jesus calls us, all of us, to a different life. You remember Mark 10, 35 and following? There's that interesting little story of James and John, or one of the other gospel writers say it was James and John's mother. Anyway, came to Jesus and said, we want to be on the right and on the left. We want the top spots. We want me first, okay, in the kingdom of God. But Jesus, when you come in your kingdom, make sure we're number one. Well, you could be number one. We'll be number two. But we want to be ahead of Peter and Andrew and all those other lackeys that are there. And remember what Jesus said. He responded to them and later on to the rest of the disciples. He said, that's the world's way of doing it. You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. That's not the way it ought to be with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. And then he gives that powerful example. For even the Son of Man, he says, even I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom. In college, at your job, fathers at home, be a servant. But there's more. And here's where we get to, I think, the ultimate goal. Because remember we said, Jesus said there was two parts to the great commandment. The other part of it is love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And I think Paul summarizes that sort of in this saying for himself. He says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection. And so on, he goes on. I want to know Christ. How do we know God? We see him in the creation. Wonderful. Enjoy this summertime. It's a great time to see God. We read about him in the Bible. How do you know God? Read about him here. But if you really want to know God, look at a person. That's the person of Jesus. The fullness of the Godhead dwells in him. He reveals to us who God is. And our highest goal ought to be to know you more today than yesterday, to daily go on learning. And that's more than just knowing about him. You can know a lot about Jesus by reading the Gospels. In fact, if you read them over and over again, and you could even memorize it and know all the things that the Bible tells us about Jesus, and that's important, but that's not it. It's a relationship. Knowing is a relationship. This week, we said goodbye to one of the heroes of the faith, and that's Ruth Bell Graham. But it's been so neat to read and hear the stories of Billy and Ruth Graham's relationship over 60-some years of marriage. And it was a relationship of knowing each other and honoring each other that stands out. It's a lifelong relationship. And so that is to be the greatest goal. Paul puts it, you keep this goal always in front of you. When you go off to college, thinking about you college kids, have something in your dorm room that serves as a reminder of this goal of knowing Christ. Maybe it's some poster that you're going to end up on your wall. Maybe it's the fact that you're going to keep your Bible open on your desk. Maybe it's going to be a cross. My grandson, back in 2006, last year, made this and burned it with wood-burning tools and put on there, I am with you always, and it's on a cross, and I keep that on my desk. It's a reminder, not of Marcus, that too, but it's a reminder of Jesus, and that my goal is to love him more and more every day. Paul says that's number one. One thing I do, forgetting what's behind, straining toward what's ahead, I press on toward the goal. Another way he puts it is our citizenship is in heaven, verse 20. That really clicked with the people in Philippi. Philippi was a Roman colony, had a special status. Rome did that. It was smart strategically. At certain locations where there were military strategies or trade points, they would set up a special city and they would populate it with soldiers, ex-soldiers. Because part of the deal is if you served in the Roman army for 21 years, they had an extra year, more than 20 and out, but no, it was 21 years, you could become a citizen of Rome, which was a highly valued thing. And so these retired servants, soldiers, would be settled in a place like Philippi. And they were given that high honor of saying, I am a citizen of Rome. And that city then became a little Rome. People dressed like Romans. The legal system was based on Roman law. Latin was the language of the city, even if it was in Greece like Philippi was. And these Roman colonists never forgot that they belonged to Rome. Now, I've known some Canadians, for example, who still, they may have lived in this country for years, but they still beam at the sight of a maple leaf. I can't understand that. But anyway, but as Christians, we must never forget that where our ultimate allegiance is and what our ultimate goal is, that we are citizens of heaven. But that certainly doesn't mean we become useless down here, because Paul recognizes that. And this is what I want to leave you with, verse 16. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Live up to who you are. Your conduct must match your citizenship. And that brings us back to those intermediate goals of working hard and having a good time and in a good way and being a servant and all of those other things. That's consistent with knowing Christ. That's consistent with being a citizen of heaven. Your daily life must always be on keeping with what you say, your profession. These kids that professed their faith in Christ last week, as little kids and as older kids, now you live that way. You live as a Christian. Wow, what a blessing and what a privilege it is for all of us to do that. As a student, what you do, bring honor to Jesus Christ. As an employee, give no cause so that your boss or your coworker would ever reject the Christian faith. As a father, live each day so that your children see Jesus in you. Because it's true for not only this group, but for all of us. You may be the only Jesus that another person will ever see. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you and praise you for the challenge that you give us to live for you whether it's off at college, whether it's in our jobs, whether it's in our homes and families and as parents, in every area, Lord, may we know Christ. May we press on daily for that goal. In Jesus' name, amen.